Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey fans, welcome to episode 205 of My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. The guest this week is a visitor who happened to be here back in the summer, and we talked about Stride Pro Wrestling and a lot of things going on with him, and he has had one big thing come to fruition, one of his goals, and that is Aaron Brooks. Aaron, welcome to the show.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me again.
So, yeah, last over the summer we talked, and one big thing that you had on your to-do list, so to speak, was win the Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Championship. And in October, in early October, you were able to do that, beating not only Wraith, but also his partner and friend Riser and a friend of yours, Jay Spade, in what was a phenomenal four-way ladder match.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It was definitely one of my favorite matches to date, without a doubt.
Had you ever done a ladder match before?
Oh, yeah. I've had ladder matches against Joey O'Reilly, you know, my brother, against Homicidal Steven Davis. I've had quite a few. Those are just a couple to name, but I've had a lot of them.
Okay. So I would definitely say that match, and I think a lot of people would agree, kind of set the pace for the night, and it was a great opening matchup. How did it feel? Because this is your first championship in Stride Pro Wrestling. So after, you know, being around the indie scene for so long, and remind fans, how long have you been wrestling?
About 10 years.
Okay, so what was it like finally getting that gold, and not only that, but kind of getting one over on both Wraith and Riser?
I mean, I've been in Stride for a while now. I was there at the beginning. I kind of took a hiatus due to, you know, personal issues in my life, and then I came back once those got situated, and I had one goal, and that was to be the best in Stride, and to be the best, you gotta start to beat the best, and I had my sights set on the Legacy Championship for a while, so I did that by winning the number one contendership in that steel cage back when we did the steel cage show.
Yeah.
Steel goes, you know, in Pinckneyville, Illinois. So once I accomplished that, I had one goal, and that was to beat Wraith and take that Legacy Championship. And when I had the first opportunity, I was cheated out of it. I was hit, you know, in the head with the championship, turned right around into a choke slam, which that referee, you know, clearly saw that, but still counted to the three count anyway. So after that, I made some phone calls, some emails, and some text messages. I wasn't going to, you know, lay down and take that. So once it got announced that I was in the ladder match, I knew I had to do something special. I had to reach down and pull that inner demon out, I should say. You know, everybody's got their personal demons that they like to fight with. I had to pull everything I had out to accomplish that because, you know, I had my son was there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I can't let him down. And so, but it was kind of weird being in the match and looking at Wraith and Riser kind of arguing there a little bit towards the ending of it. So, you know, I saw an opportunity. I let them do their thing, and I slid in there, you know, did what I was going to do and let them, you know, because as far as I can remember, there was a little heated confrontation at the end of it, and then Wraith, like, dropped Riser and then carried him out,
yeah.
I think. Yeah, I saw that from the outside. So, I mean, whatever's going on there is, you know, not my business, nor do I care. All I know is that I'm the new Legacy Champion.
Yeah, it's definitely a contentious situation between the two of them. But let's take a step back. And we talked about this the last time we were on the show together. But it was at that steel cage match where you beat four other competitors. And you came out as something that you'd done for the first time in Stride, at least. And you were painted as Deadpool. You were known as Brooks Pool. And that we talked about branding and kind of carrying that that on. And so for this big match and event, you wanted to kind of be special again, and you went back to the well, and this time came up with Venom. So you were venomized because tell me the story, tell our listeners the story behind your infatuation, and that's probably not the right word, but your fandom of Venom.
No, well, as I spoke the last time we did this podcast, I talked about, you know, how Deadpool was, you know, he's my guy. You know, I collected the comic books since I was 5 years old. Well, back then, I think the fourth comic book I had ever gotten was the first appearance of Venom. So, in the Spider-Man comics, and I grew attached to the Venom character. He's, for those that don't know, he's an alien symbiote to his host, Eddie Brock. Eddie Brock was a loser. He, you know, he lost everything. He was going through some hard times, and, you know, he found the alien symbiote and bonded to him. It kind of became his shield, so to speak. You know, made him care less about what people thought and made him stronger in a sense. And I think that's what really hooked me on was his story. So, like Deadpool, I started collecting the Venom comics, and I've got tons and tons of Venom comics. And it was never really a Spider-Man guy. I was more Venom. So, like, I made the conscious decision recently, which I think was shared on the page. I got a Venom tattoo.
Yes.
And with the new movie coming out, I knew that it came out a day before the strike show that right. we just had. So I was, you know, I was thinking of ideas. You know, do I want to bring back Brooks Pool? But then I was in a ladder match, so I wanted to bring something that was gonna intimidate everybody because, you know, Wraith's this big monster with the mask. You know, and Riser talks like, you know, he needs a cough drop every 5 seconds. So I needed to do something. I need to pull out that inner monster of mine, and it just so happened to be Venom. So, I mean, Deadpool's fun to me. His personality and mine match up pretty well, I think. But when it's time to get serious, I think I have very Venom-like characteristics. So I wanted to reach in and pull him out, and, you know, he helped me get the job done.
And let's talk a little bit about the whole process, because it is a process to get into that that not only that mindset, but also the outer exterior appearance as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely takes a lot for both. Like I was, you know, I wasn't very talkative that day. I had one thing on my mind, and that was to win the Legacy Championship, and it being my first title in this company.
Yeah,
and so when I got there, I got with the artist, who's McKinsey Blakes, who did a fantastic job as always. It takes about, I think I was in the chair for about three and a half hours.
Wow!
Before it was, like, you know, done and everything to, you know, my liking and to what, you know, detailed. So it definitely takes some time to put on, and then it takes some time to get off as well.
Well, I definitely think that the Venom was more detailed than the Brooks Pool. And it is a process, and McKinsey deserves a lot of credit for that, because
absolutely,
like you said, it took hours, and you're getting the makeup done, but she's the one that's doing it as well. So props to her for sure. Talk a little bit more about the makeup itself, because I know sometimes these things you maybe run, or you get the makeup on the mat or on your opponents, but it looked like this time you guys maybe did something different.
Yeah, absolutely. The first time we did it was Brooks Pool, and, you know, it was the first time. It was kind of like a trial and error thing. And we didn't, you know, put a whole lot of thought into the process of it leaking and whatnot. It did, unfortunately, but, you know, this time around I found some better makeup that worked. It was more, alcohol based.
Oh, okay.
Alcohol-based paint, so it only came off with, like, it's weird. It came off with olive oil and, like baby wipes and a few other things. So it took a little bit to get off, but, I mean, it really, the secret to keeping that paint on, because I you know, I looked back and I asked some of the guys, I was like, hey, is there, you know, when you went out there, was there any of me left in the ring? And there was no paint on the mat at
all
for me. So, like, it was very, that was refreshing. It was baby powder was what we used to put the final touches.
Okay.
After it was all said and done. And I got to give a shout out to my wife, Mercedes, who helped do the paint job as well. She was helping do the detailing stuff, so I kind of had two artists going at it. And I was very happy with it.
And you mentioned, you know, not only winning the championship, but you mentioned your family, your wife helped with the makeup, of course, and your son was there. So I would imagine anytime you win a championship, it's important and it's special. But when you have people that you love and that love you back, it's even more important.
Absolutely. Like my mom was there and my stepdad, and they live in Florida. They were down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And, you know, they wanted to be there to support me, and I really appreciate that. And it was, you know, it was kind of that moment where I either give everything I've got and win, or I just, you know, I give everything I've got and just, you know, I lay down and die. And I wasn't about to do that. No matter how big of a beating I took, which I took a pretty good one from Wraith, I got hit in the head with a steel chair out of midair. So that kind of put me down for a little while. But I looked over as I'm trying to pull myself up, and my son's over in the crowd, like, cheering me, telling me to get up and, you know, go get the belt. And that was really all I needed to kind of – to look at him, because he had part of his face painted like Venom too.
Yeah.
So it kind of looked – you know, I was going to look like the Baghdad if I didn't win, you know, to him anyway. And this was honestly – this was his first wrestling show
Been
to. So I kind of – that I thought about that and everything. I looked over at him, and you know, he was so excited, you could tell in his eyes. So I had to climb that ladder and retrieve that championship.
So let's talk about, because you know, obviously we're 10 minutes in and we've talked about the good side of things, and we're going to go back to the good side of things to kind of wrap the show up. But the middle here, we're going to hit a little bit of a rough patch, and that is kind of the, and I guess this is the way social media, and this is just kind of the way the wrestling business are, and a lot of aspects of business, for people who watch the My123Cents YouTube channel. I kind of spoke on this, but didn't go into a whole lot of detail. But there was some criticism from wrestling fans. But what to me was even more disappointing is some people within the wrestling business that were criticizing the look. So what, number one, what were you hearing? And we should state for the record, many of the Stride fans were very supportive and popped when you came out with this. So we're not talking about Stride fans or Stride wrestlers. We're talking outside of the area, which I think it's much easier to nitpick and criticize when you don't have a vested interest or know the players who are involved. So Aaron, what was the criticism or the feedback that you were getting?
I mean, I didn't really pay that much attention to it until after the show. I think it was like the day after my brother, Joey O'Reilly, he sent me this link, and it was to the Facebook page of like the Trash Baggers like network or something like that. Like, you know, they just posted a bunch of like pro wrestlers or, you know, backyard wrestlers that they think are trashy or whatever. And that was their profile picture with the Venom paint. And there was like all these comments about how I looked like a fat Finn Balor or a less out of shape Finn Balor or something, which I'm not, for the record. And, you know, they thought it was the Demon King paint, and they thought, you know, some of them were like, well, maybe it was a Halloween-themed show and all that. Well, to me, I was kind of reading these, and I'm like, you know, it's kind of crappy, but I started to think, you know, I don't care about what people think or say about me.
Mm-hmm.
And so reading all these comments, it was kind of like, okay, like they think I was trying to rip off, you know, WWE's Finn Balor, and that was not the case. That he didn't even come to my mind once during this. And there will be some people that disagree with me, but I mean, you know, I'm a fan of Finn Balor. I think everybody knows that. I got to do some shows with him. I've got to talk with him, train with him a little bit. So before he went off, you know, back in the day. So,
but okay, because I don't follow comic books, and I know who Venom is, obviously, because of the talk of what's going on. I mean, there were similarities, but it was obviously you were not trying to look like Finn Balor. You were doing the Venom gimmick.
Exactly. And I think, like, what most people don't realize, that the people that are out there in the world on social media, that they see something and they want to make themselves feel better about whatever they have going on in their life, so they're going to nitpick and type and act all hard and tough on the internet. And I think when you look at the picture, I think what most people first off see is the teeth and the tongue. Mm-hmm. And I know that he does kind of like with the Demon King, he's had some teeth and stuff in the same place. And I think that's what really brought people to think of that, which that's not the case. Venom is not a demon. It was not like intended to look like his. It was black and white. You know, it wasn't red and black and all these other colors. And so I was getting all these messages about that. Hey, did you see this? And I can't believe that. And, you know, it was fine. But I got a lot of support for it too. Mm-hmm. Like, from Barry, former owner of CCW.
Yeah.
He was very defensive, you know, about it on there. He was commenting about me and who I was and how good of a wrestler I was. It really meant a lot. And, you know, I was getting all these messages from people, and it didn't bother me. But, you know, it's nice to have a support system.
Sure.
As far as the, like, fellow wrestlers go, like, I didn't really hear much. I think they kind of looked – some of them kind of, like, looked at me like it was a little crazy because, you know, when you do body paint wrestling nowadays, you're going to think of Finn Balor. But that wasn't the case here. That was my – this is my comic book side, you know, my fan for – or my love, excuse me, for the Venom character in the comic books to kind of mesh into professional wrestling. A lot better than wearing a mask, to, you know, so it was kind of my way of kind of standing out. And I definitely think I did that, you know, because if there was one thing that I'm going to say about it is that, like, if you weren't a fan of Strike Pro Wrestling and that was your first show, I'm proud to say that if you went into that show with nothing on your mind and you come out of it, the last thing you're going to think of is hopefully Venom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was kind of the impression I was trying to leave. And, you know, but I got a lot of negative feedback, which that was to be expected. I kind of figured because the movie came out the day before, but it was never to rip anybody off. It was my love for the character. And this was always the plan after Brooks Pool, by the way.
Yeah, we talked about that on the podcast.
We talked about that. Yeah, it was going to be like Venom Pool or just Venom. And then I started thinking the Venom character was more what I was going to go with. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't just kind of thrown together or, hey, I'm going to rip off, blah, blah, blah. But I got a lot of support, and now I can say that no one can find that page on Facebook anymore. So I guess we're like a couple days after. So I guess a lot of, you know, I got a lot of friends and fans in high places.
So tell me, did fans contact you directly, or were you just kind of seeing passive aggressive comments and posts on social media?
A little of both, actually. Uh-huh. Like, I was seeing some, like, people were telling about these posts, and I didn't pay attention to it. And I had some people messaging me and being like, you know, they were very supportive, and then some of them were like, oh, you were just trying to be, you know, Finn Balor. And I'm like, have you ever been to a Strike show? Well, no. I said, okay.
Yeah.
Point proven.
Yeah.
You know, this is who I am. I'm not trying to be anybody else, which a lot of people will disagree with, because over the years, like when I first started out in wrestling, you know, as any young wrestler, you're gonna like see your favorite wrestlers on TV and you're gonna want to mock their movements and their moves. But, you know, that was 10 years ago for me. I've kind of come into my own style and my own way of doing things, and I think that you know, Venom just happened to be the choice I wanted to go with several months back, as you mentioned. So it, you know, a lot of people came to me about it with both negative and positive feedback, and then I did see like passive aggressive comments. But it wasn't anything that I gave too much mind to. But the reason I wanted to, you know, talk about that a little bit is because people were, you know, all the messages, hey, did you see this? What do you think of that? Or, you know, how does that make you feel? So I kind of wanted to, you know, I appreciate you having me on your platform. Yeah. To kind of give my voice out there that, you know, no matter what you think, professional wrestling, and I've posted about this, professional wrestling is for everyone. If you do not know anything about professional wrestling, there's always something in the show for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be somebody in a mask, somebody painted, somebody just old school wrestlers like Axe Allward, you know, there's always something for everybody. And, you know, I think that professional wrestling is a very, it's a very enticing sport. You know, it's never boring.
Definitely.
You know, there's always, you got everything going on. I mean, you can watch you know, I love basketball, but, you can watch a basketball game and then, you know, watch the score and all that change. Then you go to a professional wrestling show and you're going to see someone get slammed or sent through a table, or, you know, all these guys beat each other up, which, you know, to me it's a great show. You know, mm-hmm. Strike does a great job with shows, you know, very family friendly and very, you know, self-orientated. And I think that professional wrestling is for everybody, and there should be no one out there who has anything negative to say about anybody else, because the way I see it, the people that are talking about me on the internet are just jealous because I'm accomplishing my dream of professional wrestling, and they're stuck watching it. Because most of these people don't have what it takes to get in a ring, and if they do, we've seen it. You've seen it, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Some people get in the ring for a training session or two and don't come back.
Right.
So, you know, to me, it's for everyone, and no one should be hating on anybody else for trying to climb that ladder and be successful.
And I, you know what, and I'm not going to excuse it, but when it comes to a fan expressing their views, if you are a paying fan and were there or are a consumer of that specific product, but you were talking about a lot of this hate was coming from people who weren't at the show, who have never been to a Stride show and probably don't even live here in Southern Illinois. So I have a problem with that, but I have a bigger problem with some of the guys who, one, have worked with you in the past or are in the business. And kind of talk to me about that perspective of it, where you would almost think that because professional wrestling, you know, on the, I still feel like mainstream, despite what WWE has done to kind of mainstream pro wrestling, or in their case, sports entertainment, I still think there's a stigma on pro wrestling. Yeah. And when people involved in the sport, in this business, crap on other people in the business, I think it hurts everybody, including themselves.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, you're all there to help each other. You know, no one's better than anybody else at this point because you're all part of the show. You all want to have a good show. No one wants to go out there and look bad or have a crappy match. So why would you want, you know, why would you wish that on your fellow, you know, I'm going to say teammate, in a word, because you're all part of the show, whether you like that person or you don't like that person. You're all there for the same cause. You're all there for the love of professional wrestling and to do what you love to do. So to me, when someone has something to say to me about it and they're in the locker room or they don't say anything to me about it, you know, that just shows me the, you know, the kind of person they are, which, I mean, I talk to everybody. You know, you've seen me backstage. I'm a very friendly, very talkative person. And so when I think about it, you know, the fans that say stuff on the internet that don't know anything about me or the company really, you know, whatever, but I agree with you about having a problem with the people that are in the back. You know what I mean? That kind of, you know, look at you like, you know, well, why is he, that's stupid. Like, why would you want to drag someone down for your own benefit in the same cause that you're being a part of? You're all there for the same show, you know, right down from you ring announcing to Lang Austin being the ref, to the person setting up, to the person doing the lights, the music, you know, we're all a team. Absolutely. It's not just a one-person cause. So if you're going to say something bad about me and try to pull me down, you know, I feel sorry for you. You know, everybody's got personal lives and everybody has issues in their personal lives from time to time, and I understand that. But, I mean, when you come to a professional wrestling show, leave that at the door.
Yeah. And that kind of transitions into, you know, talking about working together and coming together. And you are actually organizing, and this will be Stride's first venture into Indiana, a road trip of sorts. It's happening on October 28th. It is a Sunday. At South Spencer High School in Rockport, Indiana. And we'll have a link and everything that you can follow this. Talk about that show, though, because it's a very important show to you.
Yeah, absolutely. This show was like my first. I'm bringing Stride to Rockport. I talked to the right people, and I wanted to throw this show as a benefit show for a friend of mine and my wife's, Tiffany Lester. She recently lost her husband in a tragic car accident. And the only, you know, the only way, you know, and he, I hate to say, you know, he burned, and you know that. So this benefit I'm throwing is like at his high school that they all went to. Him, his wife, my wife, their best friend, all of them went to this high school. This whole town has been nothing but supportive of it. They were all at his, you know, his funeral and everything. And I wanted to do something special for her and her kids because he left behind a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, and the funeral costs have not been paid off completely yet. So I wanted to throw this. I got the idea because we've done benefit shows in the past.
Right.
And we have raised tons of money for it.
Yes.
So I got in contact with the right people, and, you know, I got what I needed. And, I'm throwing this show. I'm putting together the matches. I'm providing everything. You know, I gotta give a shout out to John Bach for, you know, wanting to come and bring the ring and helping me out with this. I've talked to the school. I've got flyers I've been putting all over town. I got sponsors to do the show for a raffle. Like, I'm aiming for the fences on this one because it's very important to her and her kids, and I wanted to kind of do something to help them out. And I know that he was, from what I hear, you know, he was a big fan of Deadpool, so, you know, Brooks Poole might be there. But it's for a very, very good cause, and, you know, 100% of the proceeds go to her and her kids. I'm not pocketing anything. No one is. It's, you know, and a lot of the wrestlers that are coming are donating their time to, you know, for me for this benefit, which means a lot to me. Like, we have a lot of the Stride wrestlers there. We're going to have Farmer. We have String Banks. So we have the tag team champions. We're going to have, you know, Redneck will be there. We're going to have a bunch of them. Like, I know Ace Hawkins will be returning for that one. Dexter Roswell, a bunch of the Stride guys. And I myself will be defending the Legacy Championship for the first time since winning it in a Falls Count Anywhere match against Joey O'Reilly.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Brother versus brother, huh?
Yeah, brother versus brother, championship on the line, Falls County, anywhere. So, you know, if you're in the area, or, you know, might want to come out because it could get crazy, you know. Always, you know, brothers by blood, but, you know, when there's a title on the line of pro wrestling, as we've seen in the past, you know, there's that don't really mean much when it comes to gold in your career.
Absolutely.
So it's for a great cause, and, you know, I'm hoping to get, you know, to pack the place, so.
So how can people who are listening, because we have Stride regulars that listen and, mm-hmm. and I think would be willing to make a road trip, how do fans get a hold of tickets?
Tickets can be bought at the door, or I can do advanced tickets if you contact my wrestling page, which is Aaron Brooks-Wrestler, or I have a personal wrestling Facebook page, excuse me, which is just Aaron Brooks. And then you can also contact through there, which will be listed on my page, which is my wife, which is Mercedes Elizabeth Sullivan. And then you can contact Tiffany Lester or Mary Elizabeth Williams for tickets and more information. And we are also doing a $20 VIP meet and greet, which you get to meet some of the wrestlers like we did not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, you get a picture with them, and $20 gets you a picture, a meet and greet, and an autograph, and then you get to sit in the front row. So, you know, seeing to that is very limited. So it's definitely worth it. You know, if you ain't got nothing going on Sunday, it's at 4 p.m. Doors open at for VIP at 3. Doors open for the public at 3:30. So it's, you know, tickets are $10. Kids, 400 are free. So it's it's for a good cause.
Yeah, so I'm absolutely.
Hoping to get everybody out there. You're going to see some of the Stride regulars, and we're going to do what we do best.
Absolutely. It is going to be a great afternoon and early evening of pro wrestling action. Again, check out Aaron Brooks Wrestler. That's A-R-R-O-N, Brooks Wrestler on Facebook. That's probably the easiest way to reach out to you. Yeah. Aaron, as we kind of wrap things up, what else do you want to say as we have covered your tenure as Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Champion, the whole Venom being venomized fans, and of course your benefit show, which is again coming up on Sunday, October 28th.
Yeah. I appreciate having me. First of all, it really means a lot to me, but, this isn't the end like of Venom. No matter how much negative feedback I get or receive, this is just the beginning. As far as I'm concerned, you know, the sky's the limit, and then even past the sky is my limit. So this isn't the last of Venomized Aaron Brooks or Brooks Bull. There's definitely going to be more of those two coming up real soon. So I'm not going to let all the negative feedback kind of keep me from doing what I'm going to do. So.
Yeah, I personally dig the character, and I think that it would be easy to curl up in a ball and go back and just being Aaron Brooks, which there was certainly nothing wrong with that either. But I think the makeup, the paint gives you a little flavor and adds something to the shows. And let's face it, we're a family friendly environment, and you know, kids like, whether the characters may or may not be completely, you know, Brooks Pool obviously, or Deadpool obviously, not necessarily a kid's type of character, but that kind of that kind of look certainly resonates, I think, with our young fans and is a lot of fun.
Right, absolutely. You know, that's what it's about. It's about them having a good time. So, you know, like I said, this isn't the last of Venomized Brooks or Brooks Pool. So, you know, they're going to have to stay tuned.
Alrighty, Aaron Brooks from Stride Pro Wrestling. He is your reigning Stride Pro Wrestling Legacy Champion. Good luck with the fundraiser and the defense against Joey. And we appreciate you being on the show.
Nah, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.